Hey folks, welcome to episode 5 of the Empowering Ability Podcast.
Welcome to the Empowering Ability Podcast, where we get you and your loved ones impacted by disability the information needed to live a full and meaningful life. Now here's your host, Eric Gall.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 5 of the Empowering Ability Podcast. Today's guest is Sue Simpson, and Sue is the mother in a special needs family. One of her sons is impacted by a disability and has some exceptionalities. And Sue is also the executive director of the Waterloo Region Family Network. Sue was involved with starting up the Waterloo Region Family Network and has some deep, deep experiences, including her own with special needs. And Sue shares with us the value of peer-to-peer or family-to-family connections and relationships and the value that mentorship has for families. So we're going to get into it. Here's Sue. Hi, Sue. How are you doing today?
Great. Thanks, Eric. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you for joining us on the Empowering Ability Podcast. We're excited to have you on today.
I'm excited to be here with you.
Excellent. So, Sue, you are the executive director of the Waterloo Region Family Network. Now, if I'm someone out there that hasn't really heard of a family network before, I probably have some guesses what a family network is, but maybe you could just enlighten us a little bit on that.
For sure. The Waterloo Region Family Network, which we refer to as WRFN for short form, was started about 7.5 years ago. It was formed by families for families, and these would be families who have a loved one, either a child or other family member with a special need or exceptionality, wanting to support others. It was born out of our local Children's Treatment Center, which is a fantastic treatment center in terms of supporting our kids, but families also wanted to be supported a little more and connected a little bit more. And so this was a way of being able to do that. We come from that perspective of parents helping other parents, sharing that lived experience, which is so valuable. And we're very fortunate in our community that all of the agencies that are involved with our kids really support our network existing and the fact that we can support families in ways that they're not able to.
That's great. And was it parents that were vocal about wanting the connection to other families, or how did that really come about?
It was parents, and it was through the Children's Treatment Center and their strategic planning process. And one of the things that came out loud and clear was that this was something that parents wanted. So our Children's Treatment Center went ahead with the idea of starting the initiative, but knowing that it would always be parent-led. And within, actually, I guess it was a couple of months, a few parents stepped forward and said, we'd really like to run with this. We've had tremendous support from that Children's Treatment Center, and we continue to move forward with the support of a number of different agencies in our community. But it was really great for parents to just take the lead and to come from that perspective of knowing what was important to other parents. Our journeys can be very isolating, and that's why we believe that parents were telling us that they really wanted to be connected to others. And they made it very clear that they wanted to be connected in ways that were helpful to them. So that might be through email at 1 o'clock in the morning. That might be face-to-face. That might be through family days. That might be through programs, support groups, workshops, newsletters, all kinds of different ways. So we've really tried to capture the different ways that people would like to be connected and do the best that we can to connect them.
And some folks might have picked up there that you said, we as parents, Sue, you yourself, you have a son who has some special needs or exceptionalities. That's correct, isn't it?
Yes, exception. Yes, I do. My husband and I have two sons. Our youngest is 27, and he has multiple exceptionalities, a lot of challenges from a physical and developmental perspective, as well as medical perspective. So it's been an interesting journey for us. We've met a lot of wonderful people along the way, many professionals who have supported us, and also some wonderful other family members and parents who have supported us. As I said earlier, it can be a very isolating journey, and sometimes, although our typical friends mean well and want to support us, they haven't been through that same journey, so it's really hard for them to really understand what it is to live the life that we live, and also for the sibling of our son. So we look at it as a family unit, and so it's important to be able to reach out to other families and other individuals who've traveled the same journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my family has definitely experienced that as well. I've spoken with you about my sister Sarah, and there's really been one or two families that that have been close with us along most of our journey, which has provided a ton of value and a ton of peer-to-peer learning. So for families that are involved with the network, I guess first off, if I'm interested in connecting with a family network, maybe in my neck of the woods, how would I best go about doing that and accessing that network?
Well, there are a number of family networks that are connected to Family Alliance Ontario. They are connected in the sense that they would be listed on their website. You would be able to find information about them there. You can also connect with us. We would be happy to connect people, and we often do, that are living in other communities to the local family network. Our family network is a little bit different in the sense that we started with a number of very young families. Now those families are starting to get older, and so our network is growing constantly. It's not that we wouldn't support people that live in other communities. If there's an existing family network there, then we're happy to connect them. If there isn't, we're happy to share whatever experiences and connections that we're able to in our community. Some things are very much locally based in terms of what supports are available. However, that connection of peer-to-peer, it doesn't really matter what community you're living in. And again, it's coming from that lived experience, as you've mentioned, Eric, and I mentioned before. And so that doesn't really matter where you live. If you're able to share that lived experience and what you've gone through in that journey, that can be across the province, it can be across the country. As I said, some supports are different, but the bottom line in terms of that experience and feeling of isolation, sometimes that feeling of guilt, and also the feeling of pure joy of the accomplishments of our children. So it's great to be able to connect people, whether there's a network in their community or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I'm a parent, and, you know, my son or daughter has some special needs or an exceptionality, and I'm looking to connect with other families. I call up a family network. Now, what does that look like? What is the service that's provided?
So there are lots of things that we can do. And as I said, it's about connecting and sharing. So that might be connecting to other families, connecting to supports and services within the community. We have the role of a family resource coach, and she would be your first point of contact. Katie is her name, and she's able to connect families to various supports and services that are available in community. She personalizes it in terms of what that family is looking for, which is wonderful, and families really appreciate that initial contact and the follow-up that she provides to them and the support. We also have a program coordinator who oversees all of our programs. That's Krista, and she can connect families that to the programs that we run and to some other recreation programs that are available in the community. We also have a program facilitator for our over 16 social clubs, which is fantastic. Her name is Carmen, and she's a great ball of fire and very excited to always connect with people and bring them together in that social capacity for young adults who are looking to just be busy in community and to connect with each other. And some wonderful, very strong, warm friendships have occurred within that program. My role is the main focus of what I do is connecting parents to each other through our parent mentor program, which is our peer-to-peer support from that perspective, and it's a one-on-one match. And so that's typically when a requesting family or mentee parent, as we refer to them, is looking for someone to be connected, whether it's specific to a diagnosis, specific to a situation, then I can reach out to the group of parent mentors that we have to make the best match possible. And then that parent mentor will connect, usually through phone first, with that mentee, and together they can decide the best way to move forward with that match. So then I'm available in terms of supporting that mentor or the mentee if it's necessary. However, it's usually their relationship that takes off, and it can be very personal. It can be a number of phone calls. It could be meeting for coffee. In terms of things, it can be connection through email. As I said, some parents said email is much easier. Sometimes we're up at 1 a.m, and that's the time we can communicate with people far more easily because our days are so busy with our kids. So that's one way that's very personal and very specific in terms of matching. We have over 40 mentors that have been trained through our program and bring the wonderful value of lived experience to that particular type of scenario. We also have some group support now that we're offering and starting to move into more and more group support. So that would be through support groups that meet once a month, connecting on one in particular is related to school issues, which has been a great way for parents to help each other solve some problems and come up with some creative solutions and not just focus on negative concerns, but also looking at really positive solutions and sharing what great experiences they've had as well. We also have a next chapter group that we are offering in combination with another organization within our community, and that's for parents to really look at the next steps in terms of moving on after high school and for their kids to be a little more independent, and what does that look like. We will also be moving forward with some more online opportunities, again, through another organization in our community that's moving forward with a really great framework to connecting parents. And so it's an opportunity for us to connect into that framework and for our parents to be able to connect even online with each other and have those chats and various connections.
Wow. So it's not just peer-to-peer connections that you're making. You're helping families and individuals connect within the community to services that exist in the Kitchener-Waterloo region in particular. You're making those family connections. You're looking at, what online connections look like. And you're providing, you have your coach to start to help direct people to the right services and make the right fits. So that's awesome, Sue.
Thank you. We're excited. There's the other thing that we do provide is an opportunity for families to get together on a family day. We run a couple of family days in combination with our local YMCA camp, and it's been a great opportunity for families to check out the campsite to really see what camp's all about. It's not too far. It's just outside our community, and it's easy to get to, and we've had great success with families attending and then their kids actually attending the camp the next summer. So again, we try to provide those opportunities for people to try things, but really support them in the way that they need to be supported, as well as connecting with each other on those family days. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. So I'm just putting myself in the shoes of a parent, and I'm listening to this conversation, and I'm thinking, it sounds intriguing to connect with some other families, but I'm busy. I don't have any time. And you mentioned connecting at 1 a.m. You're like, yeah, I get that. Would you be able to share maybe a story or two of the real value or a success story that's come out of a peer-to-peer connection through the Waterloo Region Family Network?
For sure. I can share a couple, actually. One that stands out, which is several years ago when we first started, was a parent who had connected with us, had an older child, and was interested just in connecting with someone else and finding out more, because they were at a different stage in their journey, what was available to them in the community. So we had suggested a parent-mentor match. I was able to make a match, and ironically, the two parents live in the same neighborhood but had never met each other personally before. Their kids had traveled through different school systems, so they had really never had an opportunity to connect with each other. So it was great that they found out that they lived only streets away from each other. They ended up connecting for coffee. And so that particular mentorship moved very quickly in terms of connecting on a personal level, and because they live so close, to be able to have coffee at each other's houses. So they continued to be friends for quite some time, and it's been wonderful for them to be able to share that particular strength, and especially because their kids were a little bit older, and sometimes that's a little bit harder than connecting someone who has a younger child. So that's one we're really excited about. We also have a number of our mentors who have shared with us that they actually feel that they gain so much from this particular type of matching. It's very reciprocal. One parent mentor I can share who has had a number of matches for us, and she says every time she learns something. So it doesn't matter, even though she's sharing with them, she feels every time she shares, she feels that she's learned something back. Every time she's supporting someone, she feels that she's supported back. So it's great when a mentor can feel as well that they're being supported, and it's always this learning journey. And again, that's the great thing about connecting with each other. It's not someone being an expert, it's just sharing that lived experience, and we can always learn from each other.
Right. Yeah, no, I get it. I see the value in it. And to be a mentor, to wear the mentor shoes, do you have to be a mentee first? So do you have to participate in the program as a mentee first, or can you jump right into being a mentor?
You can jump right in, which I'll explain in a minute, but it does actually, it's interesting that you say that because many mentees do become mentors, and that's because they've tried it out as a mentee and they've found it very valuable and feel it's a way that they can give back, which is great. So we're really excited when that happens. Those are great success stories. If someone is interested, they connect with us, or someone else has maybe suggested to a parent, oh, you'd be a great mentor, get in touch with Waterloo Region Family Network, talk to Sue. I'll have a brief interview with them either over the phone to start with or in person, and then a more extensive interview just to get a sense of their experience and what particular perspective they're coming from. We want to be really careful that this is not opinion-based, that it's very much based on experience. This is not something where a mentor is going to tell a mentee, you have to do this, you have to do that, or this is the only way to do something. It's all about choice and sharing their experience. And it might be the choices they've made as well as the choices they haven't made, but it's still sharing that information so that all of the parents connected with us can make informed decisions that are best for their families. We do run a training program in connection with a local counseling agency that provides a lot of insight in terms of deep listening, helping our mentors that are in training to really understand the strengths that they bring to the role, because sometimes someone may think they'd like to be a mentor but don't feel they're really qualified. And so through that training, they realize the wonderful gifts and experiences that they've had that they can now bring to this role. A lot of it is just really that listening piece to be able to understand the person, because sometimes in our role as parents of children or individuals with special needs and exceptionalities, we can have very, very challenging days, and sometimes we just need to let it all go, and it's great if there's someone who can listen and really understands. So that's a big part of it. And then the other piece is recognizing when it's beyond us. So is it a serious situation where we need to connect this family to a social worker or to emergency services because they really are having a very, very challenging time and it's heading toward crisis? That's beyond us, but we are also equipped to be able to connect families to those services and supports that are available.
That's so important. And I love the approach that you're taking in terms of providing some training and some coaching for your mentors, because I don't want to be, a family member, as the mentee, you know, making a phone call and being told what to do. Whereas, you know, I would much prefer someone sharing their experience, what's worked for me, and to listen, like you said, you know, sometimes you just need to vent or to talk and to let it all out. So to have that person, that mentor there for you in that capacity is fantastic.
It's exciting. We're really pleased, and it's nice when we hear back from people how well that mentorship is going. It can result in friendships, which is wonderful, and life. We have some mentors and mentees that have continued to be friends over the last 7.5 years, and I'm sure they always will be because they made that natural connection, which is wonderful. It's also really important, too, I think, that bringing that personal experience and the respect of other people's journeys that could be different. Although we share a lot of common ground in terms of our challenges, things can be different too, and we just need to respect that from that perspective.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sue, when we first met, I was introduced from a very close friend of mine. She said, you need to meet Sue. She's great. She runs this thing called the Waterloo Region Family Network. And I came in and into your office. We had a great chat and, you know, we shared each other's stories and, you know, got pretty vulnerable with each other. I ended up, you know, getting to the point where I think it was one of those times where I needed to just talk and connect with someone. And, I don't think you got me to tears, but I ended up in tears. And, what about from, the perspective of, you know, we talked about parents, but what about brothers and sisters and maybe other loved ones that, would receive value from this type of a connection? Do you help those folks as well?
Yes, we do. And so it's interesting that you say that. When we started out, we called ourselves Parent to Parent, and our focus was very much on supporting parents. And we quickly realized that it needed to be beyond that, that it was the involvement of grandparents, the involvement of siblings. It might be older siblings, younger siblings. And so we really took the family approach. So that's why we ended up changing our name to Waterloo Region Family Network. There are a number of sibling programs within our community that we will connect families to. However, we can support in that way too. If a family is looking for a sibling to be connected to each other, we can do that through our particular network. My son, our oldest son, has gone through a lot in relation to his brother, who he loves dearly and supports to no end. I would probably say that they are best friends, and it's reciprocal from that perspective, but it's been helpful for him to connect to other siblings who have gone through similar situations, and for him to be able to support others who are going through that type of situation. There's also a group in our community called Young Carers, which is wonderful, and they are looking at supporting, in our particular family situations, those who are siblings of those with exceptionalities, and supporting them because their journey can be very challenging too. They can be very concerned about their loved one. They can be very concerned more about their loved one than themselves. A lot of things can become involved, and so it's really, really important to be able to support everyone. So we are always willing to support. Our Family Days is another opportunity where siblings can attend. As a group, we're looking at a family conference this fall where we will have a separate program for siblings if they wish to participate, and activities for families to do together, as well as parents to attend some information sessions. So we're excited about always looking at the perspective of the whole family. I know from our family experience, we were very fortunate at times to have wonderful social workers and wonderful supports in the community that really helped us through challenging times. However, it would have been really nice to have had a network at that time to be able to reach out to others and not just come across other people by happenstance, which happens otherwise. You might meet someone in a parking lot or at swimming lessons, which is wonderful, but we thought it was really important to have some type of vehicle and way that families could connect with each other that would make it easier for them to connect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and from my experience, there can, with my sister, Sarah, I mean, there can be so much focus on Sarah and what's going on that often other folks in the family forgo sometimes their own, you know, priorities or their own needs. And as well, it can often be forgotten that we do have our own needs as well. And it sounds like you've really identified that and with the change from parents to looking at now the whole family.
Well, we felt it was something that we identified quite early, as I said, and I think it was important that we felt it was necessary to support the whole family, and that's also the whole life journey. That's the great thing about our organization. There's no end date. It's the life journey, and so many other supports end at a certain age, so it's really nice to have that consistency and to look at the whole family and how the whole family can best be supported. We're starting to get more and more questions about sibling support and what would be available to them, so it's great when we're able to connect to what's available in community or what we're providing ourselves.
So, so important. Sue, what is the question that you get asked most often by families?
Well, there are a couple. So I would say typically the first question, it would probably be Katie who gets that because of being our first point of contact typically now. And so that would be, where do I start? We just found out this diagnosis, I'm lost. Where do I go? How do I connect in terms of things? So that's often one of the most initial contacts or questions.
We and also what's the answer to that question?
So the answer to that question would be based on whatever it is that's specific to that. So if they have a diagnosis, what is that diagnosis? And then she would connect them. In particular, she has a lot of expertise in the area of autism. So she, in terms of connections and what supports are available in our community. So she would be able to put together information for that family to connect them. One would be that she would connect them, suggest that perhaps they would like a parent mentor or tell them about the programs that we run. But it's beyond that. It's not just about what we run. She would connect with everything that's available within our community to best support that family. The other piece that's really important to remember is it can be very overwhelming. So Katie in her role and myself in my role, as well as Krista in hers, we don't overwhelm parents with a lot of information. So if they're asking where to start, we would want to break that down into a few components and suggestions as to where to start, and let's connect again in a couple of weeks and see where you're at, and I can help you with some more suggestions, because we know that it's too much. And if you give a parent too much to look at one particular time, it may be challenging and they may not be able to do anything just because they're completely overwhelmed. So it's respecting how they would like that information shared, whether it's through phone, whether it's over email, different ways in terms of doing that, but certainly doing it at the pace of the parent. So waiting for the parent to be ready for things and then to share from that perspective.
Okay.
So that's one of the main questions. Another question that we often get is related to school issues. Would someone be able to help? Parents are struggling with the situation with their child at school. They're looking for more support. They're looking for a different program, various things like that. So we're able to support. That's usually me, who works quite closely with both school boards, to be able to open the conversation and to be able to have open communication and work toward a very successful solution for that particular student.
Fantastic. And you just highlight that you're not just making the family to family connections and that support network. You're also helping to point families in the right directions to get them answers to the challenges or the barriers or the questions that they have. And that's fantastic. And I was looking around on your website as well, and maybe you can provide URL of your website, because you have some great resources on there as well, Sue, that would be beneficial to families.
Sure, that's great. We're actually going to be enhancing our website, so stay tuned for that. There's still a lot of information there right now. It would be www.wrfn.info.
Great. And what would be the best way for somebody to get in touch with you or the team at Waterloo Region Family Network to have a conversation?
So the best, if you're interested in chatting with us on the phone, you can call by phone, which is 519-886-9150, and you have a choice of four different extensions, but any one of us is happy to chat with you and connect you with the right initial person within the organization, or to the right connection within the community. You can also reach us by email. Our general info mailbox is info@wrfn.info. Or you can contact me at sue.simpson@wrfn.info.
Okay, perfect. Many ways to get in contact with the good folks at WRFN. And if somebody's interested in supporting the organization, how can somebody do that?
Well, there are various ways. We appreciate support in the capacity of volunteers. We're on a number of kids programs, our Active Start and Fundamentals, and we're always looking for volunteers that are energetic and would like to support in a one-on-one fashion with those particular programs. There's ways that people can support us through the newsletter. We're always willing to accept any donations that people are willing to give us. Right now, you can go onto our website. You will see a Donate Now button that connects to a Canada Helps page. We run an annual appeal in the fall, which is great, and we've always had the wonderful support of community members who match some of the donations that we receive. However, people can donate at any time, and we have a huge event coming up on April the 21st. It's our annual fundraiser Evening of Elegance event, and that's another opportunity for people to come out, have a great time. All funds raised go toward our organization, and people can learn a little bit more about the organization as well.
Okay, fantastic. So please support the Waterloo Region Family Network. And I know I'll be at the Evening of Elegance. I need to go buy my ticket. I'll do that right after the podcast episode recording here, Sue. And I'd just like to thank you so much for coming on the show today, and also for being a huge support for myself. Our conversations have provided me a lot of value, and I'm very grateful for that.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Eric. We really appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed today's podcast on peer-to-peer and family networks with Sue Simpson of the Waterloo Region Family Network. It's always great to talk to Sue, and she has such wise words when it comes to peer-to-peer, family-to-family relationships. And I really, really loved her words around mentorship and having someone there to share experiences with, to learn from someone else's experiences, and really to listen when we need an ear. And that really resonated with me from this conversation with Sue. feel free to reach out to Sue's team. I will include all that contact information in the show notes. Also, Sue mentioned the Ontario Family Network Alliance. So I will mention a link to them in the show notes. So you can find, if you live in the Ontario area, you can find your local family network. If you're not in Ontario, you're somewhere else in the globe, check out online, just maybe do a Google search for a family network in your area. If one doesn't exist, hopefully the conversation today with Sue started to give you an idea on some of the building blocks of what makes a family network, and hopefully it gives you some inspiration to maybe even start one in your community. And I also want to commend Sue on her leadership. Several times she mentioned the key players on her team that are really driving the Waterloo Family Network and the value they provide to their customers. So with Carmen, Katie, and Krista, and all the great work that they're doing. And it was awesome how she recognized and shared what they're doing. And I just love that. So we'd also love if you joined us on our Facebook community. You can find us at Empowering Ability. So just do a Facebook search for that and we'll pop up. Also, you can find all of our podcasts at empoweringability.org. So check us out there. And we're excited for next week's podcast. So next week on the show, we've got our first returning guest. So our guest from episode one, Keenan Weller, the co-leader of Live, Work, Play in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. And as well, we have our first podcast episode where we have two guests. So our second guest will be Al Condolusi, and Al is the CEO of a not-for-profit in Pittsburgh called Class, and he's also a well-known speaker, author of 8 books, and he has his own TED Talk. So Keenan and Al and myself, we're going to be chatting about social capital, and social capital is all about building relationships and the importance of relationships in our lives. So really great conversation with those two. So please join us next week, and you're really going to enjoy that conversation. All right. Talk soon.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Visit us at empoweringability.org for more podcasts and resources to help you and your loved ones impacted by disability build a full and meaningful life.